What's going on, everybody? NHL Action Network collab for week three of the NHL season. Pete Jensen joined by Nick Martin from the Action Network. Nick, it's your first time on the show. Ready for you to drop some knowledge. How's it going, man?
It's going great. I'm super stoked to be here, and it seems like we're coming in on a very interesting week in the NHL. So yeah, it should be awesome.
Absolutely. Welcome aboard. So many teams that we may have labeled early on in the season or in the preseason as bad teams are starting to show up here, right? Whether it's betting market, fantasy, DFS, right? Like the Buffalo Sabres coming on strong, even some teams that I thought would be really awful, like the Chicago Blackhawks, 3 wins for them, Buffalo's 4-2. What are you seeing so far in terms of parity in this league that's allowing these teams to not only put up a fight, but get some W's in some unexpected spots?
Yeah, for sure. I think we're seeing a lot of, like, this is kind of just naturally how the NHL is now. Like with the hard cap, there's 31 teams that can compete night in and night out. So I think one thing we want to be careful of is not being too sold on a small sample. But with that said, this is kind of the week where some of these teams, I think people are either going to really take notice or we're going to kind of see some of them come down to earth. So yeah, I think teams like Buffalo, they've got a nice easy slate this week. We could see them go 3-1. And I think that from a betting perspective, that's kind of when people are really going to take notice as we get further into the season, closer to the 10 and 15 game mark. So I think that's definitely a storyline to watch for.
I know that a lot of these big favorites have been doing really well in a lot of different spots so far in the season. But when you get the sample size now of a team like the Philadelphia Flyers, even though they dropped a bad game on Sunday against the San Jose Sharks, like you still look at them in a little bit different light. And then when you match them up against, say, a heavy favorite moving forward, now that we're 2-3 weeks into the season, are you approaching it any differently? Are you labeling, like, as a target some of these bad teams out there against a heavy favorite? Like, how have the numbers been in your estimation, and how would you approach it from a betting lens moving forward?
From an overall lens, I think we're kind of starting to see you want to be careful with some of these spots where it's a home favorite and it just looks way too easy. And you know, we got to keep in mind, like, something like Sunday night where Columbus shocked the Rangers. Statistically, right, They're in with a 30% chance or so to win that game, which I think on the NHL can be easy to forget that. But if a team plays a pretty strong team game, someone like Columbus with some solid young talent, they can upset. That's kind of the nature of the NHL. So I think we want to watch, you know, you got to be careful moving forward when you kind of keep that in mind, betting on these huge favorites, that it's a close league. There's a lot of parity. We're seeing teams find their legs, like the Sharks, for example. They had a really rough 0-5 start. They're starting to dial it in. And I think they're a team that are kind of the perfect example. You got to watch that, you know, the bottom five teams in this league, they're in with a shot every single night.
One team that's in the bottom five that I never would have expected in a million years is the Vancouver Canucks, right? 0-4-2. They're allowing 4.5 goals per game, tied for the third most in the NHL. Only Arizona and Minnesota are allowing more per game. Vancouver has the worst penalty kill in the NHL. Even though they have Thatcher Demko, I mean, this is alarming. Do you see there being a correction for Vancouver? Like, is now the time to jump on this team, or are you seeing some tragic flaws in this group, especially with the Quinn Hughes injury recently?
Yeah, the Quinn Hughes injury is massive for them. They're really thin on the back end. I think one interesting thing to watch moving forward, Jack Rathbone, I thought, had a really strong game Saturday. I think they've got to find a way to get in regular minutes. But yeah, I mean, they've lost 4 games blowing multi-goal leads. I think we're going to see them, you know, they're going to start to win at a better rate. I think that's easy to say. One spot that I'd like to watch for this week, they play the Kraken on Thursday, who I'm actually fairly high on relative to the market. But I think that's one where, especially if they, you know, play a decent game tonight versus Carolina, I think they could definitely come out and take advantage of that game. That's a game they're really going to need. I think they're better than their record shows right now. So that's a spot that I'm going to be watching on Thursday night.
Yeah, I mean, slight underdogs are the Canucks at home against Carolina. Carolina's the much better team, even if we were saying it in the preseason. But it's funny, I could see Vancouver, even with some of their bad losses, like, they're either going to beat the Hurricanes on Monday or they're going to beat the Penguins on Friday. And the Penguins are one team, Nick, that I wanted to mention. Like, everything's going in for them right now. The best 5-on-5 shooting percentage in the whole NHL is the Pittsburgh Penguins. you know, hate on them hanging around and being a win now team, but they're really impressive so far. That said, they're matching up against the Edmonton Oilers, who are on the opposite end of the spectrum on Monday in the big watch game, right? McDavid versus Crosby. But Edmonton is actually, you know, they're bound to bounce back as well because they have the lowest 5-on-5 shooting percentage in the whole league, only 4%, and Pittsburgh's up at like 12%.
Yeah, I think the Oilers, like, I'm a bit of a skeptic towards them as a team, but they're going to score. We all know it.
Yeah.
Like, way too much talent. Like, they're not going to shoot to below a league average shooting percentages. Pittsburgh, they're a team, like, obviously they're scoring at a ridiculous rate. They do have the league's top expected goals for per 60. So that the underlying numbers show that they're going to keep scoring at a high rate. They have had a soft schedule. So I think betting wise, it could be, you know, they might be a little overvalued in the coming weeks, just based upon that. I think kind of what we touched on with some of these teams are going to punch above their weight a little bit. They're a team that I wouldn't necessarily be looking to get involved with betting wise over the next little bit.
Yeah, I see it. And I mean, you look at some of the other big teams out there that are, you know, colliding this week. We mentioned it on the fantasy show, which you should check out, NHL Fantasy on Ice waiver wire pickups for week 3. But here from a betting lens, you got the Colorado Avalanche visiting the New York Rangers. The Rangers are coming off that sour loss. This is on Tuesday, a big game on ESPN. You talk about Makar versus Fox. We love that storyline. Potential Stanley Cup preview, potentially. You never know, right? Those are two of the juggernauts in the league. How are you approaching a game like that that seems to be so evenly matched between two of the best teams in the league?
Yeah, I think for me, that's one that's hard to have an angle on. It's going to be really interesting to see how they both kind of shake off what's been some shakier recent play. The Avalanche lost to Seattle on Friday night at home after losing to the Jets, which I think is just, yeah, for them, that's a pretty horrid two-game stretch. But yep. Rangers, same boat. They just got embarrassed by Columbus at home on Sunday. So for me, it's kind of just, it's a little tough to read where those teams are at. It's still early in the season. I don't think we want to, you know, write either of them off as being overrated by any means. But I think that's just going to be a great game that I don't personally have a big angle on.
And I'm wondering your thoughts on how to approach the Buffalo Sabres too, because they've been one of these big storylines early on in the season. I know you mentioned, right, they have a favorable schedule this next week or so, but then things could come back down to earth. Are you putting any stock in any of these Sabres, whether it's Rasmus Dahlin on the season opening goal streak, Donny Granato? We loved him in years past, how he kind of brought some juice back to the team, but now they're starting hot and they look like they might be here to stay. So where are you looking at Buffalo from a future standpoint in the midst of their hot start, and how sustainable is this stretch for them?
Yeah, you touched on, I think, the perfect angle. If you want to get involved with the Sabres, I really like Don Granato to win Jack Adams. That's still out there at 28-1, 35-1, right around there. And I think if you're going to play that, this is the week. Now's the time, because they've got a soft schedule and they could go 3-1. And that's really when people are going to take notice that this team is somewhat legitimate. So I think that's my favorite angle with them. If you want to get involved, do it now. We saw last year, they closed the year out really, really well. Their final 10 games were really strong. I believe in Granato. I think they're not going to play this strong of a record all year, but I think they can definitely hang around the playoff race. And if they do, you're going to be really happy with that Jack Adams price.
One thing to watch with them, they're allowing 38.8 shots on goal per game, second most in the NHL. So I don't know that Eric Comrie and Craig Anderson are going to be standing on their head in similar fashion to what we've seen so far, but I guess you never know. I mean, they're keeping them in games, but yeah, I personally like the Rasmus Dahlin full-fledged breakout. I don't know that he's going to win the Norris Trophy, but I mean, we knew this guy had this type of capability. He's been logging major minutes for a long time. When he was in the league at first, he was, putting up mostly power play points because he was playing for a bad team. But this guy has been maturing before our eyes during all the bad times. And now if this team is even going to scratch the surface of playoff contention, you could see him being kind of like that backbone of the team, one-man show. If they get in, he's not going to get Hart Trophy consideration, but he could certainly be in the Norris top 3 if all goes right for Buffalo, right, Nick?
Yeah, completely agree. He's so talented. And now they've got some offensive pieces to help him on the power play more. And I think that's, like you say, he's in a better situation. He could be the guy driving them to the playoffs. And yeah, he went first overall for a reason. We're starting to see the complete skill set out of him.
Of the two teams that I think have been the biggest disappointments so far, I would say the Vancouver Canucks and the Nashville Predators. Even though they won those two games in Czech Republic, they've been pretty brutal since. So which of those two teams you think is more likely to turn this ship around from a betting standpoint that maybe you could jump on now? I know we discussed Vancouver earlier, but let me know what you think of what's going on in Nashville.
I honestly think we could see both continue to struggle a little bit with the early problems they've shown. The Predators have that trio kind of older stars from last year, Granlund, Duchesne, and Johansson. They're all over 30 and they all had huge bounce backs last year. I think if those three take a step back, which is realistic, this offense is suddenly fairly overvalued, I think. Same goes Roman Josi. Slight Roman Josi. He's absolutely amazing, but he might not put up almost 100 points this year. So, and same goes for Tanner Janot. He shot at a ridiculous rate last year as a rookie. I think they do just kind of offensively have some areas where we just might not see what we saw last season. So that's a concern for me. Defensively, they're a lot more solid than the Canucks, and they've got obviously usually Saros and Net, so the floor shouldn't be too low, but I think it's realistic. We don't really see them. We might not see them claw back into the playoff race. And then with the Canucks, I love this team. I haven't really hidden that I love their forward core. But I think it's kind of showing that defense is just flawed. They're bad. If they're going to be short with Quinn Hughes for a while, it might really shine through. And I think it's hard for those forwards to shine when there's so little puck movement out of the back end. Like they really, it's a struggling defense core. So Thatcher Demko is going to start to play better. That's an angle I'd bank on for the Canucks. But I think kind of in a fairly crowded Pacific Division race, they might just fall out of it fairly early.
So you mentioned the Pacific, and I know I've been looking at the schedule and I see a couple of back-to-back sets that different teams have coming up. You know, now the schedule is going to start to be a little bit more grueling. There's going to be a lot of parity out there. Do you see any of these back-to-back situations benefiting like an underdog or something for the upcoming week where you could really capitalize on it?
Yeah, not entirely out of the Pacific, but I think that's a really good point that you touched on, just that with the amount of parity in the league, you got to really be careful about playing some of these huge favorites because the spot really does matter. Like it's a really close league. If you're an underdog and you come out with a bit of a sharper game, it can get, you get a 3-0 lead really quick. I think the perfect example yesterday, it looked like a smash spot. I'm not going to try and say I thought Columbus were going to win, but that's just one where the Rangers weren't sharp and it got away from them really quick. And you can't just, come when teams do the right things, you can't just score at will in the NHL. And I think that's just something to watch. Like people forget that the worst teams are winning 30% of the time.
Right. I was looking at the slate for Monday and I'm seeing a little wacky line with the Capitals being a plus number on the money line against the New Jersey Devils. I know the Devils are turning it around here, but is that kind of like a reverse example of what you're talking about here where like, the Devils are somehow favored even with their roster flaws against a team like the Capitals that are grizzled from years past and just a team generally speaking, I would always trust home or road in many different spots, regardless of how they're playing on any given night.
Yeah. For me, that one's an interesting spot because I think the Capitals could trend up a little bit moving forward, but the Devils have had three really strong games in a row. Their win on Long Island was excellent. I thought they deserved probably better than a 2-1 win versus San Jose. So for me, that's just one where I'm high on the Devils moving forward. They look dangerous. If they get reasonable goaltending, I think that team could be kind of slept on. And they're just a scary spot. I think betting-wise, it would have been nice to see a longer line with the Devils, but I can definitely see where the odds makers are coming from. Their controlling play at an insane rate. They're got a 67% expected goals for. And I think offensively, it has looked that dominant. Defensively, I still question if they give up some more kind of extreme danger breakdowns than people think. I think that makes it harder on their goalies than some people let on when they just pin all the problems on the Devils goaltending. But I am expecting them to start pouring in a lot of offense. I actually think over the last couple of games, they've scored, they should have scored more than they have.
So Nick, just looking at some major storylines in the NHL since we last did an episode of the NHL Action Network collab, the Florida Panthers, one of the best teams in the NHL, lost their best defenseman, Aaron Ekblad, to a long-term injury. So that's going to have a ripple effect, like we've talked about on the fantasy shows, also in the betting market, right? Whether you're talking about the realistic chances of them competing for the President's Trophy like they won last year, whether they're going to be an ultimate cup contender, whether Paul Maurice is going to be a coach of the year candidate, the whole deal, right?
Yeah, for sure. Like, they're making me look bad in the early going. They're short Ekblad. I thought this defense core was already too thin, and they're playing really well. And yeah, I'd like to hear your thoughts on if you think that's going to be sustainable moving forward.
I mean, I liked the style of play that they had in their season opener against the Islanders. It was another tight game when they played Tampa Bay Lightning last week. I think it was on Friday. So, I mean, I trust that team. I trust their leaders, Barkov and Matthew Tkachuk is just pounding out shots on goal. He's among the shots on goal per game leaders. Really impactful since he came over from Calgary. So any concerns about Matthew Tkachuk kind of holding his own line have been put to rest early on. So the shot props out there, I feel like Matthew Tkachuk's very safe whether or not he's playing with Alexander Barkov. And then, yeah, the Florida Panthers in general, I just think are a team that maybe won't be a President's Trophy contender, but I think Paul Maurice is going to make them a lot better. Maybe he won't win Coach of the Year, but watch out for that team from a future standpoint to win the whole thing. Because if they get Ekblad back, if they maybe make a splash at the deadline or something like that, I mean, this is going to be a strong team that's due, I think, to get to at least the conference final, right? They've been a really elite team for 2 years now, and now they have the new layer of Matthew Tkachuk in their lineup physically.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think they've shown us a lot in the early going, especially defensively.
One matchup I'm looking at, Original Six, Thursday, we got Detroit at Boston. I mean, that's two teams that are dealing with a lot of guys missing in their lineup, right, with Marchand and McAvoy. I know they got Grizzlick back, but now Detroit has no Jacob Vrana for the foreseeable future. Tyler Bertuzzi's injured, but they're still unbeaten in regulation. That's actually a play I kind of like sneaky on the Detroit Red Wings, and I wanted to mention them because Derek Lalonde, who we've mentioned in passing a couple of times on different shows, I feel like that's a real, you know, bona fide Coach of the Year candidate for the Detroit Red Wings, who were much improved.
Yeah, I know you've been beating this drum all year. Lalonde opened at 50-1 to win the Jack Adams. He's down to 15-1 now. I think with good reason, because Detroit have quickly proven they're going to be right in the mix for the playoffs. And that's going to be a really interesting spot, because if they win that one, it's going to keep opening eyes that they're legitimate, and that, you know, Boston, if that's a team they're going to be ahead of this year, that is just going to be huge.
It's also Montgomery, new coach, versus Lalonde, new coach. So that's another storyline there. Any other matchups you're looking at for the rest of the week that you have your eye on? One that we haven't mentioned, first Islander-Ranger game of the season, Wednesday night on TNT. It'll be at UBS Arena, so that's going to be a fun one to see how the Islanders, who have been a little shaky so far, how they stack up against the better team in town right now.
Yeah, that'll be a tough spot for the Rangers. They played the Avalanche the night before, which is obviously going to be a fast-paced game. So I think that could be one. Keep your eye out for maybe the Islanders surprising. And then another spot that I like just to go against kind of the early trends, the Blackhawks have started 3-2-0. The Wild have had a disastrous spot. I'm circling the Wild versus the Blackhawks on Sunday as a good spot to get in on Minnesota low and maybe sell a little high on the Blackhawks. I think we'll see the Wild take advantage of that one.
Do you see any Kalen Addison, a sprinkle on him to win the Calder Trophy? Are you a buyer in that? Because that was a guy that was in our top 250 rankings for fantasy, but he was maybe more of a top 10, top 15 rookie if you were ranking them for betting purposes coming into the season. But now he's leading all rookies in points. And on the first power play with Kaprizov and company, Zuccarello is one of the NHL's leading scorers, crazy enough. I mean, is there a glimmer here for Kalen Addison from a betting standpoint?
I think there is a glimmer for sure. And if you've picked him up in fantasy, congrats for you. But they books have been onto this. They opened him at 100-1, and now he's down to 20-1, which is probably about fair market value, I think. But yeah, they did compensate for what was clearly too long a number in the early going.
All right. So Nick, before we wrap, let's remind people what are our favorite plays for the upcoming week. Again, I think there's going to be a correction with Edmonton against Pittsburgh with the shooting percentage discrepancies in Edmonton's favor on Monday night. Also like Detroit at Boston, likely going to be an underdog in that spot. And I think that was a nice comment you had about the Rangers being on the second of a back-to-back against the juggernaut Avalanche and how the Islanders could maybe bounce back and take them by surprise. The Isles have played the Rangers very well, remember, over the past, three seasons or so?
Yeah, I like the Isles to take advantage of that spot at UBS versus the Rangers in the back-to-back. I think we're going to see, like I said, the Wild take advantage of an overvalued Chicago lineup on Sunday. And then one of my favorite takes, as we mentioned, to get on this week is Don Granato, Jack Adams. If they have a good week, everyone's going to take notice and we're going to see the odds plummet. So I think now is the time if you're interested in that market.
You really love to see Buffalo playing well, one of the best hockey markets in North America. That's kind of been a sleeping giant lately, but we're starting to see things come into fruition with their long-term plan. Nick, thanks so much for hopping on for your debut episode, and everybody can catch Nick on Line Change. Tell us a little bit about what you've been doing with Michael Leboff on the Action Network.
Yeah, so Line Change is our Action Network hockey podcast. We're just attacking the Tuesday, Thursday slates every week and just trying to give quick, concise takes on what we think about each spot for those teams and some hopefully strong betting angles.
A lot of great single game analysis. That's a great complement to this Action Network collab that we have, and also the Fantasy Show. Remember to check out Fantasy on Ice week 3 waiver wire pickups with myself, Nick Alberga, James Harding. Once again, for Nick Martin, Pete Jensen, thanks for listening to the NHL Action Network collab for week 3, and we'll talk to you again next week.